Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was towards the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah, and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which make it fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish, for whatever this water comes from the sea shall be made fresh. And along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Song. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore, we fear not, though the earth be shaken and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst. It shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on earth.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recall the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years. And you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, today we celebrate the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, and I want to provide a little bit of background and history on this, because I think it's just fascinating. So in the city of Rome, there are four major basilicas. There's St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. There's the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. There's the Basilica of St. Mary Major. And there is the Basilica, which is the oldest, called the Lateran Basilica, or Lateran Basilica. And it is the official cathedral of Rome. So the history of this is kind of amazing. So back in about the year 64, there was a huge fire in Rome. People may remember that. And Nero blamed this fire on the Christians. And in retaliation, he ordered the execution of many, many Christians. Well, the following year, there was a conspiracy to kill Nero with the help of a council designate named Platius Lateranus, or Lateran. Well, Nero finds out about that. He beheads Lateranus, confiscates his home, and then over the next 250 years, it gets used as a military fort and different functions like that. Well, back in then the 4th century, Constantine was in control and in power. He donated the Lateran Palace to Pope Miltiades, who was the pope at that time. Well, then that pope then changed it into a cathedral, which, of course, through the centuries, of course, has been renovated and other things like that. But it is the first cathedral and the most important cathedral that we have. So a lot of history there on how it came to be. So that's a little bit about the Lateran Basilica. Saint days. So we have a great week of saint days. I'm just going to list them off today. Please go and read about them. Ask for their intercession. November 10th, St. Leo the Great. The 11th, St. Martin de Tours. The 12th, St. Josephat. Oh, by the way, I did some hard-hitting research. Do you know that he liked to leap into the air? And that's why we got the term Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. There you go, huh?
Right.
Yeah, you don't even have to pay for that. I give that out free. The 13th, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And then on the 15th, St. Albert the Great. So
yes.
Remember those saints, especially St. Josephat,
yes,
on the 12th. So
yes.
Let's go ahead and run into the first reading here. This is from the prophet Ezekiel.
Okay, yeah. In this reading, Ezekiel uses the imagery of a life-restoring river to bring encouragement to the Israelites as they were reaching the end of their time in exile. Ezekiel's vision of restoration and new life is also a prefiguration of the redemptive work that our Lord will accomplish through his life, death, and resurrection. And we hear more about that in the gospel reading.
Yeah, and the church, I love how the church has tied our first reading in the gospel today to the feast of this dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Because we see in this first reading the water flowing out of the temple toward the east. So life-giving water is flowing in the direction of the rising sun and nourishing everything in its path. And this is one reason why our churches and altars have traditionally faced eastward. And this water flows into the Dead Sea, making it fresh. So St. John Lateran, as the official cathedral of Rome, and therefore the cathedral of the Pope, who's the servant of the servants of God, we find that from the Pope and our bishops, we get life-giving sacraments, life-giving works from them, or life-giving signs, and it's the Holy Spirit's work through these sacraments that bring life. And then we'll see in the gospel, we'll see Jesus' zeal for his Father's house and how he equates the Holy Temple with his own body, a beautiful fulfillment of what we see in Ezekiel today.
Yeah, it is.
In the second reading, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Yeah, the Christian community in Corinth was really only about 5 years old when St. Paul wrote this letter, and he was sternly reminding them that their focus should be on evangelization and building the church and keeping Jesus as the central focus, not on power grabbing or attention seeking or in attempting to establish a following of their own. But that's part of the human condition, you know, to start out with good intentions, but then get sidetracked. And that's what happened with Apollos. He was a man that Paul had left to help govern the Corinthian church after he'd first established it. And it turned out that Apollos was a gifted speaker, and there was a split that began to develop between those who followed Paul and those who followed Apollos. And so St. Paul is reminding the church that they all belong to Jesus because he is the foundation. And he goes on to remind us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But our world has perverted this idea and promotes the belief that we are temples unto ourselves, that our bodies are to be worshipped as temples to the self-gods that inhabit them. The importance of achieving physical perfection is front and center in our world today. You see it everywhere, splashed on magazines, television ads. The secular world literally idolizes physical beauty. The entertainment, fashion, and drug industries also encourage pursuing physical perfection at any cost. But it's always self-serving. St. Paul writes that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, not temples in which to house our egocentric selves.
You know, you mentioned that about temples of the Holy Spirit, and of course, the rift between Apollos and Paul here. When I think about that line, you are God's building, I think it's how beautiful you said that. We're not just a building, but we're God's temple. Mm-hmm. And when I think of the temple or that word temple, I think of two things. How a temple is designed for worship, and a temple basically is one structure, which really I think shows really how there should be unity. Mm-hmm. So I really like how you brought up that. If we are God's temple, we're designed for worship, and we're designed to be in union with others. And so we see how Paul lays that foundation, which is Jesus the Christ. Then others build upon that one sure foundation and how important that is.
Yeah.
Well, in our gospel today, we hear from John chapter 2.
Okay, right. And we hear that there are sheep and oxen and doves that are talked about, and they're in the temple area. And the reason they were there is because it was a tradition to carry out animal sacrifice on the feast of the Passover. And those who traveled from long distances weren't always able to bring their own animals on the journey. And so they bought them once they arrived in the city. Animal sacrifice was a sacred Jewish practice for various occasions, and even Jesus' own parents sacrificed doves when they brought Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. So why then would Jesus take such a vehement position against those who were selling animals for the purpose of sacred animal sacrifice in the temple area? Well, Jesus wasn't angry about the animals. He was angry that the merchants, the money changers, made the sale of animals their priority. They let the worship of profit take place in the temple of their hearts, the place that should have been reserved for worshiping God alone.
Yeah, that area was to be used for, like you're saying, the selling of sacrificial animals, the currency exchange for the temple tax. It was not to be used for robbing the Israelites through cheating them. Very good point. And I want to focus on two lines here as we close. Zeal for your house will consume me. We see Jesus' zeal for his Father's house. The temple should be a place of true worship where life-giving water flows from the east, as we saw in our first reading today. And then the line, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. At his crucifixion, the curtain closing off the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple, is torn into two, destroying the old covenant. And 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead, raising up the new temple, the temple of his body.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.